Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Hi, Empire Builders. I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti, and I'm here with my incredible co-host, Seychelle and Tiffany. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi. We are back.
Good morning.
All things school. All the time, girl.
All the time. Welcome to fall. Welcome to fall. Well, you guys are good. Everyone's off. Back to school's going well. I mean, we're almost. By the time this episode's, we'll be well into back to school season.
Yeah, we're at a brand new school, and Quinn's loving it.
Well, my kids ended up with a three-month summer, which, as I was like living it, I'm like, this is amazing. And now that I'm at the end of it, I'm like, I see 100% why we don't do 3 months of summer. Not because I want my kids gone. Not at all. Like, I'm not ready for them to go back to school. But man, I'm loving all the freedom that summer comes. I'm sort of like, how do we do it when all this happens again? And I've got all the things and everybody's got the lessons and the starting.
Yes.
It's just 3 months is too long. You get used to it. You've created habits. 2 month summer, it feels too short. You're ready to get back to routine. And I have like nestled into what summer means. And it's going to be a rude awakening for me when they go back in a few weeks.
100%. Well, because I think when you're talking about the 2 months, then it's like fall kind of sneaks up on you and you're
yes.
like, oh, I could just use a little bit more summer. And then before you know it, you're like, it's off. Drop-offs, fall activities. We've got our first football game tonight. Right, great. Like, it's just like fall is here, which often means that the like lazy, slow days of summer feel so long ago. And there's all the other things that are happening, right? All the stuff that is like already, I was in a conversation that was like, oh, it's time for budget planning. And I was like, no.
I feel like too, like January felt like it was like 19 years long. And then the rest of the year has felt like it's like 3 days long. It has gone so fast this year. And so it's like, we're already, you know, back a couple weeks into school. And like, how did that happen? But now the one thing I am channeling though, because it's still freaking hot in Texas, is I am wearing sweaters to channel the cooler weather.
That's a bold move.
I am doing it, Tiffany, because it's hot and I'm just over it. And I feel like if I start the trend, maybe the weather needs like some encouragement. So it's going to come behind me. I just feel like maybe that'll make it happen.
I love that.
Yes. Well, most of us on the closer on the East Coast, right? We are feeling the season of fall. So we're excited today, right, to dive into like what to do if you're kind of feeling the fumes of fall and like the November and the December feel like you're going to burn out before you make it to that. So this is the conversation for you, how we can really set you up to power through with a powerful pause.
And what we're diving into, it may feel kind of counterintuitive, like, you know, you're ramping up and everything's going so quickly, but what Kimber just said is the counterintuitive thing that can help you the most is often hitting pause. So a lot of people, we are in a culture of, you know, like we worship busyness, you know, like you're, how are you? I'm busy. Like that's like a badge of honor. And so pausing can feel like it's a weakness. But the reality is the greatest strength of a leader can be their ability to pause. And that may be the thing that keeps you from breaking down and actually gives you the breakthrough to whatever you want to do next. So we're going to break down a 5-step pause, P-A-U-S-E. And that's the method to help leaders recharge and come back even stronger.
I am so in love with this topic, you all, because I think this is something as a leader, it took me years to learn, probably decades, honestly. And you're right. It's so important. So we're going to start with the first letter, which is P. And P starts with pause, with purpose. We are going to be purposeful about this. We're not just going to stop because we're exhausted or burnt out or sick. Because your body forces you to pause. How many times have we all done that? We ran so hard that we got sick and then our body forced it. So instead, what we're going to do is we are going to pause with intention. And when you pause with intention, I want you to know that this actually gives you control. So for all of you leaders out there that like to feel in control, when you pause with intention, it actually gives you more control. And what you're going to do is you're going to build in micro pauses throughout your week that allow you to step back and to reset. And that could be as simple as a midday walk. I know Nick and I do a morning walk after we drop off Quinn 4 out of 5 days a week. It could be a coffee ritual without your phone. It could be scheduling white space on your calendar that you protect. But the point is that you pause before you hit the wall, not after. And that's what gives you the control and the intentionality. Leaders who do this model for their teams what rest looks like, and that rest is actually part of the work that we do. It's not that we have to leave work completely or separate ourselves completely to pause. It's really important to build these in and model this for our team so that we have a rested, really, really intentional, really energized team that we're working with too.
And the first time I really understood this concept was in the book Power of Full Engagement, because I am a, like, I have a high capacity. I can go, go, go. I can, you know, well, when I was younger, I could work for as many hours as I wanted to work. And understanding that you need to take a micro break every 90 minutes from whatever you're doing, and you will be more productive if you will take those breaks. And so one of the things that our team used to do, and I need to bring it back, I've kind of forgotten. I'm glad I'm getting this reminder. So we had a timer, a 90-minute timer that during like lead gen time or focus time, especially like big bold days that we were doing, 90 minutes. And when the timer went off, everybody had to drop what they were doing. And we walked around the building once together and then just got right back to work. And you weren't allowed to talk about whatever was happening on your calls. It was like you had to talk about something else. And then you got back in and everybody was just so, that rhythm of micro breaks. I believed it after I read it and then tried it. So Power of Full Engagement backs this concept up hugely. So that's where I first saw it. And that's kind of a way that our team has brought in micro breaks.
I think the powerful thing here is to schedule it, right? So often we pause from exhaustion. Like we literally just like hit a wall. Your body actually forces you to stop. And we hear this a lot from our leaders where they're like, oh my God, I kept getting sick this season. I don't know what it was. And it's like, no, girlfriend, it was because your body was saying, like, slow down. And so the power of this, if you're listening, think about literally in your schedule, where can you block that white space? Where can you build it in so that you're not getting to that wall and then having to just clear everything to create space, make it proactively, intentionally, as opposed to reactively responding because you just have to reset.
I love that. One simple way one of my friends, Amy, did this was instead of making hour-long meetings, every meeting is 50 or 55 minutes instead. And then she just has a built-in 5 or 10 minute break. So it's, you can actually build it in. It's amazing. You can get the same amount of work done in 45, 50, 55 minutes that you can do in an hour. It's really amazing. So even just little things like that, that just auto, like if you're like, oh, let's meet for an hour, let's just meet for 50 minutes instead. And you probably will get the same amount of work done anyways.
And if you've got someone doing your schedule, set that up as a standard. Hey, when you're booking me for appointments, because a lot of us are living by a schedule that somebody else is kind of the puppet master for your schedule in your life. So if the rule on your schedule is 50 minutes, then the invite's for 50 minutes. And so you're, or 45 minutes. And that way you're building it in, like, right? Just that, like we set a rhythm this year where the meetings couldn't go back to back to back because they're scheduling it and it's like a puzzle. But then when you find, you look up and if you're the leader, you may be just running from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. with no, like you got to pause, you go to the bathroom. So build that into a rhythm for if someone else is managing your schedule.
Love it. Okay. So we're pausing with purpose and then assess and align. So the great thing that pauses do is they give you time. They give you time to do something else. And this is where you have to choose what is that something else, because you could have been awesome at pausing with purpose, but then at the end of your 50-minute meeting, you're checking your email instead of walking around the building or doing something else. So assess and align when you pause. So that's zooming out and really saying, is what I'm spending time on today where I want to go? Like, am I moving forward in the right direction or am I just moving? Because burnout comes often when we pour energy into the wrong things, into the things that are not lighting us up or serving our bigger mission. Because when we're pouring energy into those things, those buoy our spirits. But the energy when you get to the end of the day and you're like, what was even the point? That's exhausting and draining, and that's what leads to burnout. So a 5-minute reflection can bring clarity. I love the like delegate it, drop it, or double down concept of, okay, what have I done so far this day? Or what did I spend my time on? And do I need to delegate this? Do I need to drop it? Or do I need to double down? And this alignment check keeps you from drifting on autopilot. That is a big part of what my story is coming out of autopilot, finding myself on autopilot and getting out as fast as possible. And these questions and this assessing and aligning are big for that. And even like a rhythm our family has is we've started protecting a evening and morning for joy, like for games or, you know, like literally the only thing we can do in that period of time is what brings us joy. And we made a list of what are all the things that make us, you know, bring us joy. So sometimes we do something that brings Asher joy or on Aaron's list or on my list, or we all sit and read a book, our own books. But that practice has helped us buoy through the week and make sure that we're aligning as a family, as individuals, and gives us time to reflect back on the last week and said, where did we see happen last week that was awesome or needs to improve? So how you spend that time that you pause is important.
I love that. One, I like too that you're visiting it and tweaking it as you go. I think so often, you know, the word autopilot really resonates me where we set something and we just say, well, that's now the plan. And we're not going back and visiting saying, is this working? Do we need to tweak it? I think about like our summers up in Michigan, and this, like at the end of every summer, we sit down and we go over with my mother-in-law. She and I sit down and go, what went well? What didn't? I like doing that as a family on a regular basis too. I think that's a really good idea. Thank you for that. It's awesome.
I love that, especially because so often we literally are doing something, even asking your team, like, what are the things that it, like, even if you're not sure, you know, you send out a newsletter, right, in the Market Center world. It's like, well, let's check open rates. What would happen if we didn't? What if we did it once a month instead of every week? Like, where are the things that you just have always done because you've always done them? And this is a good time to just evaluate that, particularly on the schedule. Like, if we said you had to get 10 hours back on your schedule to be able to have the intentional pause, what would you have to say no to? Like, right, our great say, you know, say no to say yes. And this is a place where you really can assess and evaluate. I love that. All right, so moving on to our U, unplug to reboot. And I think this is one where, I mean, even more so now, right? We're living in a world where your notifications, your pings are just unrelenting, right? They never stop. And if you've got kids, like I've got three nearly teenagers, which seems crazy to say, but like a phone or some tech device is in somebody's hands all the time. And the answer is real recovery requires us to be able to disconnect, right? To disconnect from our inbox, our phone, from the scroll. Like the scroll actually, the same way alcohol for some people, right, is that numbing exercise. The scroll is a form of numbing, right? It's just you're numbing to the world and you're just getting lost in the scroll. And so what would it look like in your world to have 1 hour of your like, no tech time? One of the scary things that we do in our house is look at the usage, right? Like how many hours of the day, of the week were you on your phone? And even like when we're on vacations, we like do a competition to see who has the least amount of hours, and then they get like, I gave them $20 this summer.
Awesome.
You're like, right? Because it's just trying to control, because you just, it's so natural, right? That you just pick it up and it fills any dead space, which is then not allowing recovery to happen. So could you, for yourself, for your family, pick, I mean, maybe a screen day is difficult, but is it even just a screen couple hours? I love, Tiffany, your point of like, hey, what's our family joy practice? And hopefully it's not playing a game together on your phones, which for one of my boys, it would be. But is that a time that everyone can like, you know, do you have a phone basket that yep. like, hey, even at dinner, we're going to put the phones in the basket just to allows us to unplug and connect. And then I think this is a big one. We hear this a lot, particularly for our empire builders, where they're like, yeah, I'm on vacation, but don't worry, I've got my laptop, right? Like the perfect day is like sitting at the beach, but also having their laptop up in front of them. And what would it actually look like to when you're out of the office, that time's really honored, that you really could truly unplug and not have your your whole day, your family's vacation. I mean, how many of our empire builders have we heard say, like, oh my God, my family was off doing this incredible thing, but my client wanted to write an offer. So I was sitting in the hotel room, like cranking out the offer while everybody else had fun. So what does it really look like to unplug, to whether that's if you've got a team that can help you hold that space, or even just somebody that you partner with and maybe they can cover for you so that you can have this time to really intentionally unplug, because that's where recovery really happens.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, you know, and the next part of that is the S, which is streamline and simplify. And burnout thrives in clutter. When you pause, look at your plate and ask, what can I cut? What can I automate? Or what can I delegate? Because streamlining isn't just about doing less. It's about focusing on what is actually driving the results. And Tiffany's modeled a couple of really good examples for that already, as we've talked even through this episode today. And I really think about this with leaders who pause to prune their commitments come back sharper, and you've created margin for what really matters to work on the things that are going to drive results. And honestly, to do your top 20% that you need to be focusing on. I think sometimes when we become leaders, all of a sudden the meetings, they get added to your calendar. It can be overwhelming because all of a sudden now you have people you're leading and they need accountability and they need training and they need all these things. And you lose sight of the fact that your job is actually to grow and drive the business and to cast the vision and to lead. And so creating that white space and pausing is really important to be able to get back to the mission on that. And I think of it as editing your leadership, right? So you can remove the noise so the signal can be really strong. Something that I've started doing is when I'm doing my weekly planning on Sunday, looking out, you know, for the next week, I actually look 2, 3, and 4 weeks out and start editing and moving things around to protect like a white space day where I can work on bigger projects. But I'm looking out several weeks now instead of just 1 week ahead to be able to do that. Because oftentimes if you give somebody enough notice, they can adjust their schedule or move something around for you. You know, so if you're looking now into the holidays, like start looking at how you want your schedule to look and seeing what you can move around so that you can have the intentional space or the intentional bandwidth you need to do those other things.
I think a lot of us are also entrepreneurs. We got into this because we have such great ideas.
Yeah.
And you talk about another autopilot. Another autopilot is, oh, and this idea and this idea and let's do this one. And like, are you really doing, like, simplify what you're doing? Because if you're constantly going after a brick wall and tapping over the left and on the right and on the bottom and on the, like, that's not as effective. It's just going in one spot and just chipping, chipping, chipping away. And so, like, streamline what you're doing, not just with your activities, but with your team's activities as well.
Yeah.
That will help you be able to take a pause also, because you won't have 50 new ideas that are getting implemented all at one time that are in your brain. And so how can you stop? Because they're all in your brain. So you have no options.
That's so good.
Okay, which brings us to the last one, which is E, energize and engage. So this is the fun. This is the reward. Like, this is what you've paused for. The E is all the reward of all the work you've done. So, you know, after a pause, you're not just refreshed, you're able to re-enter your work with new energy if you've done it well. And this should be a good indicator of have you done it well? Have you succeeded in a good pause? That's such a good moment to re-engage with your team. Like, share insights, model the balance. That's huge. And you now have a little bit of a fresh perspective into your leadership. If it was a big pause, you may have an idea of something you're going to cut or something you're going to do less of or something you're going to delegate. If it was a small pause, it may just be you're going to answer that next Legion call with a better voice, better energy. It doesn't have to be giant, but this is the reward of taking the pause. And it's not just for you, it's for everybody around you. I know, like, people in my world have a better day when I'm having a better day, you know? So like, let's reward them with having a better day. You're helping everybody else with that too. And you give them permission to do the same thing as well. So how do we, like, a lot of people get, okay, yeah, me as the leader, I really do need this space. But for me to be off, my team needs to be on. And like, how do we really do this well and allow pauses, not just for us, but for our team?
Part of it's not also secretly pausing. Like, you know, which just seems crazy, a junior in high school now, but when he started his freshman year, I committed to him and to myself and told him so that I had the accountability that I was going to be present for his games, right? That's a form of a pause, because like sitting for 2 hours watching, you know, football, which I'm not particularly in love with. I can't believe I'm saying that. Oh, but it's right, true. But I told my team. And so this idea that I was pausing to be able to spend time, I didn't do it secretly. Like they knew, because I was modeling that that was important. I think so oftentimes as leaders, like we're secretly getting our nails done, or we're like secretly doing this thing, or like putting this block. And that also doesn't model what that looks like in a way that allows them to know that there's permission to have that back. So I think even just being more, we have to tell them everything, right? We should tell them when you're getting your Brazilian done, but you are telling them like, you're taking a minute and where is it appropriate, so that they can really see that as a model and encouraging, even in a 411 review, even in a weekly review, like even in a monthly, how have they done the thing that they committed to do?
Yeah, I love that. I think putting it on your calendar and communicating it is super important. And I think you touched on a bigger thing, which is defining what success in the workplace looks like. As an entrepreneur, and especially for many of our listeners who are in real estate, our hours are not 9 to 5. We have stuff happening all over the week, all over the schedule. I mean, you have clients that call all over the place. And yes, while you try to set boundaries with your clients, there are still times when emergencies happen after hours. And especially when you're in a smaller like team and you haven't grown your team really, really big, where you have, you know, a lot of protections and leverage around you, I think it is very okay to set expectations with your team that you have life that needs to exist as well during that. And I know Tiffany gave a great amount of permission to me during COVID when we just adjusted our schedule. It was like, just because somebody else's calendar looks like this and they're in the office by 7:30 or 8 every morning and they're doing all these things, like I'm missing getting my daughter ready for school. I'm missing all these different things. What if we just adjusted our meeting schedule? Like, why do we have to care what X expert tells you if that doesn't work for our life? And I think giving yourself that permission to build your business, because we are the leaders and the owners and the entrepreneurs, give yourself permission to build your business. I'm just as productive as I was when I got to the office at 8:30 as I am starting now at 9:30. But I am very, very focused with that time. And I put that much more pressure on myself with what I do because I appreciate the other things that that schedule allows me to do.
Well, and Kimber, you said when you were talking about vacations, this made me think of this as well. Like every time we respond to an email or take a call on vacation, we're telling our team we expect the same from them. Mm-hmm. That helps me a lot where I'm like, I could do this, but if I do this, then Noelle is going to feel like she has to do this, or, you know, Garrett is going to feel like he has to do this.
Great point.
And so like holding your boundaries also trickles down. And when somebody is on vacation and they send me an email, the first question I ask them back is, why are you on Slack? Why are you sending an email? Like, what are you doing? Go back to vacation. We'll deal with this later. So that was one thought that I had. And then the second thing that, as y'all were talking, I realized, oh, we have a good rhythm of that. We have a competition for winning your week. And if you win your week, which is like setting appointments, signing a buyer, getting a contract, like having a killer week. But the fourth thing on the list is you have to have taken a full day off. And we have had people who have set the appointment, signed the buyer, and did this and didn't take their day off. And they'll admit it. I didn't take the day off, so I really didn't win the week. And that like language has been really powerful on our team, that you could grind it out and that's fine, but you don't get to win your week. You'll get to win your clients and it'll be awesome and you'll make tons of money. But for our team, we want you to have a rhythm of rest.
I love that. You know, with your talk of vacation, there's a couple systems we have around that for the team that are really helpful. The first is we have a shared Google calendar that it's called VPP Vacations. And so whenever you book your vacation, we also invite that so that everyone can see A, it's good for vacation planning, so we're not all out at the same time. B, it's good because you actually can see then when people are off, and they'll literally write like off on it. Not like I'm out of town, working out of town, but like I'm off. And then along with that, they do buddy up with another team member to cover them when they're on vacay. It's expected. And that actually became, that was a fail that I had when I hired, is I would say, oh, and it's so great because you get coverage on vacations. And then what I didn't say was, the only way you get coverage on vacations is if you cover somebody else's vacay.
Yeah.
And so I had like a couple people that I hired with the expectation they all got coverage. And then they were so ticked that they were having to cover other people because I, as a leader, failed to tell them that that is actually how you earn it. I was like, surprise, the more people you cover, the more coverage you get when you get vacation. So that was a fail. Don't do that. Set expectations properly. And then it's an expectation that you tell your clients who's covering, you touch base with every client before you leave town, and then you send an out of office to the entire team to let us know who's covering what client and where they're at in the process so that we can take care of them well for you. And I love it because we always write contracts for agents when they're out of town. It's my favorite thing. Like, I'm like, let's write like 3 contracts for this person while they're on vacay and they come back to a pipeline.
I love it.
So it's fun.
It's like ultimate mailbox money.
Yeah, it is. It is. For us, it's like the ultimate. I'm like, take a vacation. You know, as soon as you leave, we're going to write 2 contracts for you. So line it up well because we want to write contracts for you while you're out. And we negotiate the whole thing. They come back to appended deal. It's great.
I love it. So, and I'm going to give my last tip and then we'll summarize it all for you guys. But Tiffany, to your point, like the literally just scheduling emails, I was finding that my team, as a badge of honor, sometimes like sending an email at midnight, like right at 2 a.m. or 5 a.m, like they were up early and they sent the email. And I literally have called and been like, hey, I love that that's when you had to get back online, especially as like moms, right? We sometimes are like, if I check out so I can have a great dinner from and bedtime from 7 to 9:30, I am responding to emails at 10:30, but I set them up to send at 8:30 a.m. And that way I might have a whole bunch of emails. I actually just did this week. I have one of my incredible team members, right? Lauren's out on vacation and there's some critical items that I know I wanted to have for her, but I literally have 4 emails for her scheduled for, you know, Monday at 10 a.m., right? Because I don't want her to even if she does look, then all of a sudden you get sucked into all the things. And it was nothing that was so critical that it had to be addressed on Thursday. So the answer is like, hey, when she gets back and she's catching up on email, it'll land in her inbox and it'll be fresh. And I won't have forgotten it, but I won't have like inundated her inbox while she's out of town. So just that simple email schedule has been a game changer for us culturally, that we're just like, hey, we don't send emails at 5 a.m. We don't send them at 2 a.m, even if that's what your life in this current season is requiring.
That's such a pro move. And something you said there that I don't want to get missed is that you scheduled it for your ops person at 10 a.m. on Monday, not at like 8:30 when they're getting in and trying to like get fresh in to catch up. You gave her a little bandwidth and breathing room. Like, I'll ask our ops people, like, when do you want me to send you stuff? Do you want it before you get in the office? Do you want it after you've had time? Like, so everybody has a different preference on that. And I love that you know that about her, to know when would be a good time to drop those in her inbox too.
Yeah, and they're not mission critical things.
Right.
They're things that need to get moved. And so it was like, great. That way, when we'll talk about it in her one-on-one, but the updates and the connections to the agents, which is what she's got to follow up on, will all be there and they'll know I didn't forget and she's ready to tackle it for him.
So. I love it.
All right, awesome. So we really hit a framework that lets you pause with purpose. So the first part of that is just that, right? Pause with intention and focus on it from the P. A, assess and align. Just because you've always done something doesn't mean you have to continue to do it. Be willing to say no to focus on yourself and your team and building a powerful business. You unplug to reboot. Get intentional about getting away from the screens and disconnecting, because that's real recovery can take place. S, simplify and streamline. Where can you find opportunities to both delegate and streamline activities, especially in the world of AI? We know, right, we're getting so much more efficient and faster when we're using it effectively. So look for those ways to streamline in your life. And then last, where the fun happens, right, because you get to show back up on the E, energized and ready to engage and be purposeful with what you're doing. So sometimes the bravest thing we can do as empire builders and leaders is to actually take a breath, right? This fall, and as we're heading into the end of the year, let's stop glorifying busy. Busy is not a badge of honor, and we're going to embrace the power of the pause and the rhythm of rest. So go out there and have an incredible week building your big businesses and even bigger lives.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.